Let's try it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. That's awesome. Kids. Anybody who might consider themselves a kid. That's right. Damien, you're a kid. Kids, as best you can, this week I need you to pay attention. Do you think maybe you could sit on that side of the table, Damien? That way you can see me? Hey, Logan. Oh, there you are. You're going to pay attention? You good? Okay. Augie? We'll give Maxwell and Brendan a little of a really younger kid exclusion on this. And you'll shortly understand why this week and next, kids. Are you looking at me? Yes? Yeah? Good. Why you should pay attention to me. So, do I have your attention? I can't hear you. One more time. Do I have your attention?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Earlier this week, I asked Augie. Do I still have your attention, Augie?
Yeah.
Good. I asked Augie what I should do a sermon on. He responded that I should preach about Jesus on the cross and Jesus coming back. What do you think? Were those good suggestions? Adults can answer this one, too. Were those good suggestions?
Yes.
Yes. Well, you've got as much energy as the kids. They were awesome. Awesome suggestions. However, to do both at the same time in one sermon would break one of the rules of preaching for children that I made up for this week. So this week, it's going to be Augie's sermon on the cross. And then next week, kids, do I still have your attention, Damien? Okay, just checking. Next week will be Augie's sermon on the second coming. So far, so good? Yeah, good. And the reason, as we go through here, Logan, Augie, and Damien, the reason I need you to pay attention is that although the sermon is titled Augie's Sermon on the Cross, it's not just for him. Who else is it for? It's for you too. It's for you too, and the parents, but especially for the kids. Do I still have your attention?
Yes.
I love that. Great. Maybe I'll just ask that every 3 seconds. That'll make you happy. Now, in order to preach to you, I figure there are some rules. Now, can you tell me if I have these right? Are you ready, Logan?
Yes.
Number one, use simple words. Number two, keep it short. Number three, see number one and number two. What do you think? Do I have that right? Let's repeat them together. Ready? Number one, use simple words. Number two, keep it short. Number three, see number one and number two. Okay, great. Related to those three rules, I want to share a quick story about a famous physicist who was also a very fun guy. Funny, too, but he was fun and funny. His name is Richard Feynman. One time he promised to write a lesson about a really difficult topic for students who were starting their first year of college. He failed, and he said that, quote, "You know, I couldn't do it. I couldn't reduce it to the freshman level. That means we really don't understand it." Did you catch that? "You know, I couldn't do it. I couldn't reduce it to the freshman level. That means we really don't understand it." And to be honest, kids, if we adults sitting here around you cannot explain something important about God simple enough for you to understand it, then you know what? Maybe we don't really understand it. Big or fancy words can make us sound smart, but they don't actually prove that we're smart. Indubitably, right?
Indubitably?
Is indubitably a simple word, kids?
No.
So if I use some highfalutin word that you don't understand, please go ahead and raise your hand and ask me what it means. Deal? Were you raising your hand? No? Okay. By the way, indubitably means it's definitely true. There's nothing to argue about. And highfalutin, did you see how I snuck that word in there too? Highfalutin is an old word, which basically means you're trying to look important. Sometimes we use big words because we want to sound intelligent. Okay, are we good, kids? Ready to jump in? We've laid the ground rules. I may repeat a little bit of that next week, just remind people, but we'll jump right in next week into the sermon about, do you remember what the sermon next week is going to be about? Augie's sermon on the, what?
Jesus coming back.
Exactly, second coming. Ultimately, when you do a sermon about the cross, about Jesus on the cross, there is really just one question you need to answer. Do you know what it is?
No.
What do you think, Augie?
Why did Jesus die?
Exactly. Why did Jesus have to die? Why did Jesus have to die? And by the way, I didn't plant that answer. I'm not saying that there are no other questions. But if you, in Strasbourg, saw a good man being killed, wouldn't you want to know why?
Yeah.
Jesus was a good man. Mm-hmm. Why did Jesus have to die?
I know.
Oh, no, no. Don't preempt my whole sermon. Oddly enough, we actually have to go way back to the very beginning for humans to answer that question. Back to your parents, 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 parents. I don't know how many parents back. You have to go back to fairly soon after the original man and woman were created. Yeah. Do you know who what their names were? The first Logan, what was it?
Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve, and Augie, you got it right too. Hey, Damien. Hey, see, now I'm going to embarrass you, aren't I? Damien, do you know who the first two humans were? Mom can help. It's okay. It's okay. Adam and Eve, you got it. Exactly. We're going to go all the way back there, okay? But before we go back there, let me ask you a question. I got to reach into my pocket here. Maybe I should help with that. Okay. Oh, now I got my wire on my arm. Okay. If we were going to go up into the mountains and we found a really high cliff and I reached over the cliff and I dropped the car, what would happen? What do you think, Logan?
We would probably fall.
Well, so your dad's going to hold me to make sure I don't fall, and I trust him, right? So I reach over the cliff, and it's thousands and thousands of feet down. And I let go of the car. What's going to happen to the car? Go ahead. You first.
It's going to break down.
You think it'll break? Do you guys? What do you think, Damien? Well, if this car had gasoline in it, yes. You've watched a lot of good movies, I can tell you. Do you agree too, Augie?
Yeah.
Exactly. It will fall. It will fall, and it will probably break. That is because the law of gravity means it'll pick up a whole bunch of speed and hit the ground fast and hard. It is just that way. We have no problem understanding cause, letting go of the car, effect, hitting the ground and breaking in a physical world, do you? Do you have to have somebody explain to you and why does that happen? You know. You let go of it, it's going to go fast, it's going to break. Natural cause and effect. Cause, dropping the car off a cliff in a world with gravity. Effect, splat. You agree? Exactly, splat. Let me ask you this. What would happen if you drank poison? Oh, if you don't mind, Augie, I'm going to ask... I'm going to go start at the back. We'll start bringing questions this way. So, Damien, what would happen if you drank poison?
Probably die.
Well, you might, right. You'd probably at least get sick, and then you might die. Again, natural cause and effect. Natural cause and effect. Cause, drinking poison. Effect, sickness and possibly death. The same is true with rules of right and wrong. You do wrong things, and there is a natural bad effect. Does that make sense, kids?
Yes.
Just like there are rules in the physical world, there are rules in the right and wrong world. If you do something wrong, they have a natural bad effect. Now, remembering that, I want you to remember that, and let's turn with your parents back to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to head back to the Garden of Eden, where our original parents lived, and a time before, this is a time before they did something very, very wrong. Genesis 2, We're going to look at verses 16 to 17. Hey, Augie, do you want to come up here and help me with this?
Yeah.
Come on up. Genesis 2, 16 through 17. And kids, if you come up here and help me read, just remember I'm going to bend over. You got to speak into the mic so the people on the internet can hear you too, okay? Genesis 2, 16 and 17. And another good rule of thumb, no matter how you say it, you said it right. Has everybody got it? Okay, 16 and 17. Go ahead.
And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You shall surely eat of every tree in the garden, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For the day you eat that of it, you shall surely die."
Thank you. Great job. Everybody agree?
Yes.
Thank you. God told them, kids, God told them they could eat of every tree except one.
No.
Do you remember what one that was? Your parents can help you. Augie, what?
A tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Right, exactly, right. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what would happen, we'll start with you again, Logan. What would happen if they ate of that tree? You got it. They would die. Very good. Do you agree? What's up?
They vanished from the garden.
That did happen, and we won't have time in this sermon, but you could argue that was part of the death. But yes, they would die. God said, "You eat of that tree, you're going to die." Now, I know it would be easy, being that I asked you about poison. I know it would be easy to think that that just meant that the fruit was poisonous, but that's not it. Basically, what our loving God was telling them was that sin kills. Another part of the Bible, and if you looked at, we won't right now, if you looked at Romans 6:23, you would see this in there. Another part of the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death, which means that sin pays for those who do it with death. Again, natural cause and effect. Cause, sin. Effect, death. Before we continue, kids, do you know what sin is? Boggy, what's sin?
Sin is when you don't follow God.
That is a form of sin, yes. Sin is, that's probably a pretty good definition. Sin is when you don't follow God. Any other, Logan, you want to try a definition too? It's okay if you don't have one. No? Damien, do you want to try to define sin?
Not following the rules.
Not following the rules, that would be another good one. I would define it as this. Sin is doing something wrong, which sometimes includes not doing something you should have. Sin is doing something wrong. Is that a good definition? We good with that?
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep going then. Cause, doing something wrong. Effect, death. And in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve decided to do something very, 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 very wrong and ate from the only tree that God told them not to eat from. Cause, doing something wrong. Effect, what's the effect?
Oh.
Augie?
Death.
Death. Now, our loving God did not let them die as soon as they ate that very bad, wrong thing. But at that very point, death began. Their death began. And death, at that very point, became a reality for all of us. Unless Jesus comes back while we are alive, every last one of us sitting here, including you guys, is going to die. Cause, doing many wrong things. Effect, what's the effect, Damien, of doing many wrong things? No, you're right. Unlucky things will happen to you. If you do wrong things, unlucky things will happen to you, and ultimately the unluckiest of things, which is death, will happen to you. But Alan, Logan could say, why should we die because Adam and Eve did something wrong? What's up with that? Now I ask you guys, are you listening? Do I have your attention? Good. Do you sin? Do you do wrong things? Augie?
Yes, everyone does wrong things.
Everybody does?
Wait, wait. People do very wrong, very, very wrong things. I was looking for evil.
He was going to give a full answer. Very good, I like that. Well, before we complete that answer, let's look in the Bible together at two verses. Logan, would you like, I will read it with you. Would you like to read something with me? Word, I'll say a word, you just repeat it. Do you want to try that? Come on up, come on up. Everybody else, turn to Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23. I'm going to cheat and use this sheet because it'll be easier for him to see. Romans 3:23. And then after that, just give you a heads up, it's going to be 1 John. Romans 3:23. Are we there? Okay, you got to talk into this microphone. Ready? What it says is, and this is Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. Say, for all have sinned.
For all have sinned.
And fall short of the glory.
For all short of the glory.
Of God.
Of God.
And tell you what, why don't you stay right there, we'll do the next one together. So this is 1 John, I won't make you guys turn, but repeat after me. Ready? If we say we have no sin.
If we say we have no sin.
We deceive ourselves.
We deceive ourselves.
And the truth is not in us.
The truth is not in us.
Very good. You did awesome. Thanks there, Logan. So the first verse we read, tells us everybody, you guys included, Augie, you had it right, everybody, you guys included, has sinned, has done wrong things. Now the second verse is a bit more difficult to understand, but it says, Damien, if you claim not to do wrong things, you are fooling yourself and you are lying. First verse says everybody sins. Second one says if you claim you don't sin, you are fooling yourself and you are lying. So getting back to my question again, do you sin? Do you do wrong things? Logan, do you do wrong things? Yes. Augie, do you do wrong things? Yes or no?
Yes, like I've lied a lot before.
Okay, we don't want to give everybody the list of mistakes you've made. Damien, do you do wrong things?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sadly, yes. And I can tell you if I went around and asked the parents, not only will they all have to say yes too, but Augie, their list would be even bigger than yours. Okay, kids. Together we have learned cause, do wrong things, effect, death. And we have learned that we all do wrong things. You will die. But why does sin kill? Why does doing wrong things cause you to die? Now there's this guy named Isaiah, listening to God, who gives us an idea. Let's turn to Isaiah 59, verse 2. Chapter 59, verse 2. Isaiah 59, verse 2. And I'll be up front, Augie. Every time I ask a question, sometimes it's not rhetorical, but it's just part of the preaching. It doesn't mean I'm going to actually ask for an answer. So don't take it personally if I don't actually wait for the response every time. Isaiah 59, verse 2. Is everybody there? I'm almost there. Got my fingers going. It says, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Iniquities. That's another word that's not very simple. Is it? Isn't it? Do you know what it means? Augie, what do you think iniquities means?
What does it mean?
Yeah, very good question. Sin. Iniquity is the same thing as it's doing wrong things. And through Isaiah, God is saying our sins, the things that we do wrong, separate us from him. And don't let anybody fool you. Just like you need air to live. Anybody here able to live without air? I need it. Just like you need air to live, you need God to live. And if you want to keep doing wrong things, in the end, God will give you what you want, freedom from him. That separation that Isaiah mentioned will happen fully. And you know what will happen? You will die. When you get what you want, separation from God, you will die. You will die because you do wrong things, not because Adam and Eve did. You will die because you do wrong things, not because of Adam and Eve. Do you guys want to die?
No.
Me neither. I don't want to die. Stopping here. Do we all agree? Let's go around, kids. Ready? Damien, do we have a problem? We're going to die. Do we have a problem?
Not me.
Not you. Do you want to die? Because if you don't want to die, you got a problem.
No.
You don't want to die, so you got a problem. Augie, do we have a problem?
Yes.
Okay. Logan, do we have a problem?
Yes.
Okay, we agree. Cause, we do wrong things that separate us from God, and we need Him to live. Effect, we die. How do we fix it? And this is where I need to be honest with you guys. I can tell you the solution to the problem, but I cannot tell you exactly how it works. Logan?
You have to do right things.
You do need to do right things, but that's actually not the fix. Let's talk a bit more. And then afterwards, if you still have a question, let's talk more. I can tell you what you need to do, what needed to happen to fix things, but I can't tell you exactly how it works. But you know what? Let's pretend this was my big car. A mechanic can fix this, and I'll bring it to him to fix it, or her, and they can do it even though I may not understand how they did it. I'm just glad I get behind the wheel again and my car starts back up. And God can fix me. He can fix you, even though we don't completely understand how He does it. Is that okay with you? Is that all right? We good? Thumbs up. I like that. Assuming so, Romans 5:10 actually tells us how God fixes the sin problem. Damon, do you want to try to read this one with me? Come on up. Come on up. So everybody else, please turn to Romans 5, verse 10. Romans 5, verse 10. Okay, remember you got to talk into the microphone. Is everybody there? Let me move this out of the way a little bit. Romans 5, verse 10. Right there, okay? So, can you read it?
Uh-huh. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life.
Awesome. Great work. Great work. See, the only problem, kids, is they're going to hear that you sound so much better than me, and they're going to want you to do the sermons every week. That also included a lot of words that weren't simple, didn't it, Logan? But let's focus on, it says, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Do you guys know what reconciled means? Anybody know what reconciled means? Adults, you can speak up now. It's okay. What's reconciled mean?
Brought together.
What was balanced? I like that. Very nice. Well, we talked about how sin separates us from God. I would say reconciled is unseparated. Brings us back together. Sin separates. God, through death on the cross, reconciles, brings us, unseparates, brings us back together. Why did Jesus have to die? To unseparate us from God. To bring us back together with God. If, okay kids, we just said Jesus had to die to unseparate us from God. If separation from God causes death, what would bringing us back together with God cause?
Life.
Life. Awesome. Thank you, Jeffrey. Life. It gives us life. Why did Jesus have to die? To unseparate us from God. To bring us back together with God so that we can live. That's why Jesus had to die. I've got some good news and some bad news. First, the bad news. Logan, Augie, Damien, you know I was going to get you. You will die. God's fix has to do with whether you live or die forever after you leave this world, after you die on earth. Do you understand that? God's fix is not here. You will die here unless, as I said earlier, Jesus comes back. You will die here. God's fix is after you die, and it's for eternity. Will you live or will you die after you die here forever? The good news, so that was the bad news. Yeah, look at the expression on your face. That was bad news. And it's good because you should feel that way. Not enough people feel that way. The good news is that Jesus took care of that. You will live, you can live, with God forever if you allow Jesus to unseparate you from God, to allow him to fix you like a mechanic fixes a car. Why did Jesus have to die? Because you, me, everybody here sins. Because your sin, my sin, our sin separates us from God. Because to fix your sin problem, Jesus had to die on the cross. Because to unseparate you from God, he had to die on the cross. There's another really complicated verse. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. I won't make you turn to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It says this: for our sake he made him, and him in this case is Jesus. For our sake he made Jesus. Well, let me actually do a couple substitutions, if you don't mind. For our sake, God the Father made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him, Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. The simple version of that is Jesus never, ever, ever, ever did anything wrong. Not even once. He did not sin. God treated Jesus like us, like people who do wrong things, so that we could be with God, to unseparate us from God. And you know what? The verses, if you look, the verses before 2 Corinthians 5:21 specifically say reconcile, which means, do you remember? What's reconcile mean, Logan? Bring us back together, right? Unseparate. So just before I read those words, it talks about reconcile. That's what we're talking about here. Unseparate. Why did Jesus have to die? To bring us back together with God. So that you won't have to die forever. So that we can live. He died for you. He died for me. He died for us. How did I do, kids? Do you understand why Jesus had to die on the cross now? Do you? Yes? Yeah? It's okay to say no. I'm not perfect. Michelle can confirm that. Just don't give him the whole list, honey. Putting it all together, okay? We're wrapping up. What was rule number two? Do you remember? Keep it short. Wrapping it up. Jesus had to die on the cross because if he didn't, the wrong things you do will separate you from God forever and you would die forever. Jesus died on the cross so you can live forever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever should believe in him or whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's John 3:16. Jesus died on the cross because he loves you, Logan. He loves you, Augie. He loves you, Damien. You're still waiting for me to say it, right? He loves you, Damien. Let's all say this together. Ready? Thank you, Jesus. Ready? Once again, thank you, Jesus. Amen to that.